Welcome to Straight Talk with Carly Lissa Thorne, and I have with me today Phil Verbacek, and I hope I said that well. Anyways, I'm really excited to have a conversation with me because social media to me is all about linking locally and connecting globally. And Phil has had a wonderful life in social media, and he's going to talk with us about that. He's going to share some wonderful tidbits, resources, and tools, and we're also going to be asking about a new book that's going to be having coming out soon. So welcome, Phil.
Thank you, Carly. It's great to be here. Thanks for having me.
Okay, you have to tell me. Did I say your name correctly?
Close enough. It's Gerbashak. The key is you
there
just don't think about it. You just say it.
I'm like, okay, someone needs to hear you say it.
Yeah.
So we have obviously lots of fun mutual friends that are in marketing and social media and this wonderful world. I'd love to ask you, in your experience, because you've been in the industry for a long time, what have you seen from way back, and where do you think we're going now? What are the changes that you've seen?
Sure. Well, it used to be that you could ask a question and people would answer it, and you could just throw it out there anywhere, or you could post a link and people would organically find it because they'd be looking for it. I started out back when there were very few bloggers. There was very few blogs. Many businesses didn't have one. It was a lot of individuals who put things together. And sometimes, you know, there was a lot of volume. Sometimes I would write 3 or 4 articles in a day and I would never promote them, and still they would get views. And you know, now it's so much different. It's shifted to really being about relationships. Relationships that I built yesterday, relationships that I'm building today, and relationships that I want to build in the future. So it's really changed and really amplified kind of the offline world that's always been relationship driven. But now social media is so focused on that, because if you don't know anybody, your blog could be amazing, but you might never get any air. Nobody might ever find your blog. And if you're not trying to engage with other people and be interested in their stuff first, it's going to be really difficult for anybody to ever find out that you're interesting on the back end.
So you just said a really key point there. Having people, you're also talking about us wanting to be excited about other people's content. I can't tell you how many times I've had clients come to me, consult, and they're asking me why they're not gaining any people, no views on it. Even though, okay, let's put this out there. Algorithms change all the time. That's never going to change. However, I'll go to speakers' pages or author pages or people that might be considered famous, and they have no content on their pages except their own. It's about me, 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 my next radio show. It's about my next webinar. It's my blog, right? And what you're talking about is building relationships. So I've had to explain to clients, I actually just worked on a movie, and their page had maybe 400 views. And I started working with them and explaining how to share other people's content that's related to your whatever it be, self-development, just around your niche. And their page went from 400 to 4,000. And they're like, well, what did you do? Instead, I started sharing other people's content, right? And I think so many people are afraid to do that because they're afraid they're going to lose people. And I say, guess what? If you share something exciting on your page, what's going to happen? A, that person that you share from is going to go to your page. Then they might share something from your page. And now somebody else that you never even knew about is now going to read that and see what that person posted and is going to go back to your page. So what are your thoughts on that?
I totally agree with you. I do not write as much as I'd like to, but I'm always sharing content on Facebook and Twitter and LinkedIn, even if it's not my own. And I think that's so important, because people don't come to me because I'm the only smart person in social media. People come to me because I know other smart people, I'm learning, I'm sharing, I'm growing. And like you said, the algorithms change all the time. So if your goal is just to keep up with the algorithms, you're never gonna share any content. You're never going to get any play. But if instead you shift your goal to making friends first, and you spend some time building relationships, sharing other people's content, sharing other people like you're doing today by interviewing someone else, it's so important, because friends share other friends' content, and friends then eventually do business with people that they know, like, and trust. It's really simple. It's an old saw, but it's so incredibly true. If somebody doesn't like you, if they're not your friend, and I don't mean friend necessarily like we used to think offline, where someone we'd have in our home, but I do mean someone that I might have on my interview, someone that I might share a guest post with, or share a tweet about, or might have a conversation with. That's what I mean by a friend. Someone who's a friendly, who's going to help you, and that you can help grow their brand as well.
So that's a great segue for me, because you're talking about building friendships and relationships. And I know you're working on a book called Make Friends First. So I'd love to hear about that.
Sure. So the book is loosely titled Make Friends First, Do Business Last. Because I think it's so important that we really find out things about people, that we listen, that we know who our tribe is, that we know who loves us and who we love, that we know as much about them as we can, that we add value instead of volume to their life, and that we remember that ultimately at the end of the day, all business is personal. And we so often forget that because we're like, oh, I have to do this press release, or I have to do this blog post. And we forget that if we don't read it through the eyes of our audience, that while it may be very well-intentioned, it may fall completely flat. And then the doing business part is all about, now that I know you, what do you need? How can I serve you? How can I ask you what exactly you need? How can I take the language that you're using and put that on my page so that when you're in there, you feel because you know that I care about you. Now, this can't be faked. My first rule of making friends first is if you suck, social media will help you suck faster. So if you're a jerk offline, social media is going to point that out even faster. People are going to call you out on that. Now, you used to be able to fake it, but now with Meerkat and Periscope and Google Hangouts and Skype, we see more of people than ever before. So now, if you're a jerk, that's going to come out. People are going to notice that. So if you suck, if you're a jerk, social media is going to help you suck faster. And we have to remember that because it's so important, because that'll short circuit the friendship every time.
So I just did an interview with the producer and writer of this movie that I'm working on. And like I said, we did a Google specifically social media for authors and speakers. And one of the first things I always, when I'm consulting with speakers or authors, is you, like you said, people will do business with you if they like, trust you, right? And therefore, then they're going to refer you. Is that likability, the trust factor is so key. So here's the thing. If someone is, like you said, you have to be the same person on stage, on screen, off screen. And I keep on telling people, whether they like it or not, companies are looking at not just your business page, they're looking at your personal page. Why? Because if they go to your personal page and they see you with, you know, drunk and, you know, cans of beer, or you got some like hot naked, you know, I don't care if it's a hot naked guy or hot naked girl, you know, like really skimpy clothing. Employees or people that we work with or we're JVing with, they are a part of our brand at this point. If they're working with us in any shape or form, they now become an ambassador, if you will, or someone that is actually part of your brand. Do you want someone that's going to be part of your brand, and then they're, like you said, you know, offstage, whatever, or on their personal Facebook page, they're putting obnoxious things, they're having rants on their pages, they're having political debates, you know, they're putting really negative connotations. So like you said, the old phrase of more money is not going to make, it's going to actually make you just the way you were before. More money, like you said, if you were a jerk before, more money is going to make you more of a jerk. If you were a wonderful person that gave before, you're going to wind up giving more when you have money. And social media goes viral really quick. Example, tweets. We sometimes retweet other people's content. Do we bother to check to see where that link goes? You cannot delete a retweet. You may be able to delete a tweet that you've put out there, but guess what? Someone else may have already shared it or cut and pasted it, and the same thing on our walls. We may have then feel bad about that rant. I can't tell you how many times I've then gotten an inbox saying, did you see this rant? And someone's already cut it and pasted it, now it's already gone viral anyway. Just because you took it off your wall does not mean it's gone.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, people don't think about the implications long-term, right? If you think about it, social media in many ways is like getting a tattoo. You might be able to scrub it off. You might be able to fade it out. You might be able to cover it up. But people are going to say, hey, what's that? I saw that, right? So that's really important. And it's okay that you choose that, but just know you're also choosing the consequences. So I was at the National Speakers Association in Ohio this weekend. And I spoke with someone, and he let me know that he's worried that he's turning people off because of his conservative nature, because he sometimes gets political. And I said, here's the thing. You can get political, but you can't attack the other side. I don't care that you're conservative or liberal. It doesn't matter as long as you're respectful about it. If you're doing it just to lather people up and to be controversial, unless that's what you're getting paid to do, you're going to turn people off. So you need to think about that. That's less than 2% of people are actually getting paid for a political opinion, right? So politics, religion, you know, things like that. You have to be really, really smart about that. I'm not saying careful. You have to be smart. You have to understand what are those repercussions. And if you're going to alienate your 150 true fans, you have to think about, why am I doing this? Am I doing this because I want attention? Am I doing this because I'm wanting a return on my ego, right? I might get 100,000 likes on something that, you know, is really controversial, but is that really driving business or is that just returning on my ego? So you need to think about that. That's where being smart, being savvy, and looking at that again through your audience's eyes is so important. And if you view your audience as your friends, as someone that you would invite into your home, you're going to behave a lot differently than if you just think, oh, social media is just this anonymous blob that I can post anything and nobody cares, because that's not true.
So a couple things on this. So I always tell people the three things I completely steer away from on my pages are religion, politics, anything that's overtly sexual. And here's another one most people do not think of, jokes. Because what might be funny to me may be completely offensive to somebody else. And since I'm saying link locally, connect globally, someone's in a different country is going to see that joke and think it's just plain nasty or hurtful. So to me, why go there? And now in our personal lives, or for example, if politics is our platform, then you have a separate page that may be just for that. But even if you have that separate page that's about religion or politics, you don't have rants and, you know, heated debates on it, right? It's good. You want to keep it geared to positivity. However, on my personal page and online business page, my choice, because I choose to keep my pages public, and I'll get into that in a minute, why it's so important to do that, because I don't want to get someone riled and have a debate on my page, where if I have a joke and they're going, that's just mean, that's just rude, or I can't believe you're, you know, pro whatever, pro abortion or anti, all those things, it's not worth it. It's just not. If you're having a party at your house, that's at your house, it's your personal home, and, you know, these are your friends you're having personal discussions with. So I think, A, being really transparent, really being authentic. Now, here's where we get a little, how I say, dicey. They're saying, well, if you're at home discussing that, then you're not being authentic on your pages. Well, yes, we have the choice of the freedom of speech. We also have the choice to choose what we put on our pages and to have some privacy in our lives. Doesn't mean that we're not still being authentic and transparent in our pages. We're just choosing not to get in heated arguments. And hopefully at home you're not getting into heated arguments, but we have friends and they may have a different opinion than us. So I have one thing I really, really want to get your opinion on. So as I was saying, I keep my pages public. And the reason why I do that, and not only do I allow people to come onto my page and post, obviously I check, I have someone checking and I also check my pages, you know, three times a day. If I'm working or, you know, which I obviously am, I'm busy, I'll have an assistant check the pages. People don't know how many settings there are. There's settings for profanity. So I set the profanity setting to high. So no one's going to be putting curse words on my wall. But here's what I found. Not only is it important to share 80% of other people's content and 20% of yours, however, if my pages are public, it gives the public the idea or feeling that I'm open to hearing from them and that they could post on my page if they wanted to. However, obviously, the way we post on our pages teaches other people how we treat our pages. So they're also going to see what we normally post. If they see I'm posting self-improvement posts and positive, you know, quotes, you know, just inspirational, motivation, empowerment, and I'm posting quotes about or blogs on social media marketing, they're more apt to post that. And so you also see people that post, like, for example, a post, and they have it set to private, like on Google all the time. I'll see people, I can't share their content because it says, you know, specialized for a special audience. Or on Facebook, they'll put just for their friends. I'd love your opinion on what you think is a strategy in terms of that. Do you think it's better to be public, have your post public and always have it public? Or do you think it's better to have all these different circles and you know, semi-private and all this other stuff. What is your opinion on that?
Well, I go both ways. I'll tell you how I am, and I'll tell you why I'm this way, and then I'll tell you I can see the other way too. I'm a very public person. I'm happy that all of my stuff is public, and I'm happy to share it that way. I'm okay with that because I know that I am very mindful of every single thing that I post, whether it's on my cell phone, my iPad, or on my laptop. It doesn't make any difference. I'm thinking before I post it. Now, if your temperament is not that discerning, I think being more private is probably better for you. Now, remember though, if you're going to do business on social media, even though you made it, the circle is this big, if one other person sees it, they can take a screenshot and share it. You have to remember that. Just because they can't share the exact post, I have plenty of my friends who will take private Facebook messages, take a screenshot and post and say, after they unfriend and block this person, I can't believe what an idiot this person is, leaving their name and their picture intact. Chances are other people see that. And again, my friends might think they're being private. They're not. So what I'm telling you is feel free to make any private things you want, but just know it's not really private anyway. It's just an illusion. So take the time and be mindful. Take an extra heartbeat or two and just remember to be kind. If you wouldn't want somebody to post it about you, if you wouldn't want somebody to really rip you apart, you probably shouldn't be ripping anybody apart anyway. So just think, right? So either way, you know, you pick, but doing business, you're public anyway. So just get over yourself.
I love that you said that because it's so true. I've actually seen screenshots of things that were, oh my God, you know, literally your eyes pop open and go, I cannot believe someone was, I'm just going to say, didn't know better. I'm not going to say anything else. The other reason why I say about posting public, specifically on like Facebook or Google, is because if you want people to share your content, you know, you want to have that cross-marketing, if you will, people are not going to take that extra step, especially on Google, where it says, you can share, but no, this has been set for a special audience. So be discerning, you know, in your sharing. And then you have to go through and you have to click each, you know, public, whatever circles or list you have, and you have to click, 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 click. Most people are not going to take that extra step. So that's the other reason why. And also, another big key one is remember, settings change. So I may have my thing on Google in the what do you call it, default settings where everything's public. Now, I may go back and go to post something the next day, and if I don't check to see that it says the green public, the setting may be just, you know, defaulted, or, you know, I'm saying undefaulted. So we have to be aware when we're posting and check that the settings are. We have to go through, I always tell my clients once a month, make sure you go through settings and make sure that they're set to what you want because things happen. It's technology, it's not perfect.
That's right. I totally agree. That's great advice.
So I have another big one I'd love to talk about. You and I know a lot of speakers and authors. What is your opinion? And I'm also going to bring in mom and pop businesses. Why is it so important in today's society, whether they're famous, not famous, you know, speakers, authors, and that, why is it so important, A, to actually have your social media platform, you know, working? And I would say the key ones would be LinkedIn, Facebook, Twitter, and if you're doing, you really want to hit home with some SEO, which has totally changed now, but it still applies, Google. And I found, in all honesty, Instagram is a huge one because people are very visually oriented and they love to see you. And the reason why I'm tying this in is because we, as we said, we want to be public. People want to know you behind your brand, and you are your brand regardless. So they want to know, what are your values? What are your passions? What do you do when you're not on stage? They want to get to know you because ultimately, even if your brand is XYZ, you're still that brand. So they're going to want, since they're actually in essence buying from you, whether you're the person on there or not, they still want to get to know that person. So if it's Zappo, even though Zappo's the lighter is the brand, they want to know about the Zappo owner, right? So I love your thoughts on why it is so important to have their social media platforms and how it can really transform your business and why it is so important, whether you're famous or very well known, to engage with people. not just like not follow people back because I want to be considered like I got 50,000 followers and I'm better than anybody else. I don't need to follow anybody else. Just a little bit into that because I don't think a lot of people realize how important that is.
Sure. Well, I think it's fascinating that you included mom and pop there because really when you think about it, all business is personal, like a mom and pop store. So if you treat your business as that, the reason I'm going to the local convenience store that is not affiliated with any big brand is because of the service I've received, because of the sweet people that work there. Often those sweet people that work there is mom and pop, the people who own the place, that own the business. So as a speaker, as an author, as a small business owner, you are your business. I met with someone this past weekend. He's like, well, I have this brand and this brand and this brand. And I said, so, okay, that's great. And then he goes, so who do I become on social media? And I said, so how many people are in your business? He said, well, me and an assistant. I said, and how do people find you to do business with you? He said, well, they find me. I said, then it's very simple. You be you on social media and you be more human on social media. To your point, Instagram, it's great because you can cross post it to other places. So if you're extremely busy, that's right. You have your mobile, you'll post that to a few different places, but also it's the just in time photo that you can share at any time that really is going to humanize your brand and make it real and make it touchable. As an author and speaker, if you're on the platform, and I don't care if there's one person in the audience or 1 million people, the person that's in the audience looks up to the person that's on the platform. Wow, they're clearly an expert or they would not be on the platform. Now, of course, there's exceptions. People are snarky and they might think, oh, I could do better. But let's talk in generalities here. Most people look at that person on stage and like, wow, I'd like to be like them, or holy crap, that scares me. I could never be like them. So either they admire you because they want to be you, or they admire you because they could never be you. Either way, there's some admiration. Now let's take that offline. You're done speaking, you go away, and somebody finds you on social media and they say, hey, I saw you speak 3 weeks ago at this event and you were awesome. Or hey, I learned a lot from you. Thank you for your presentation. Or maybe they're shy and they just follow you. But you take a look and you're like, huh, how the heck did they find me? And you realize, oh, you had this engagement 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago. And you just remind them on social, hey, so nice to meet you here on social. Maybe we got a chance to connect after my talk, but probably not. A lot of times I have to fly after I talk, and I don't get a chance to stick around. So this is my chance now on social to reconnect with that audience or to connect with the first time that they've never seen me. Small businesses, same way. They still will love you even after the sale if you're human and if you're helpful and if you're adding value.
I love it. Thank you much for sharing that. It's one of my pet peeves, I'm sorry, that I'll go and see some, and obviously will not name names, speakers or authors or people, and they literally will not answer back or they won't follow back. And you'll see they're only following, they may have 50,000 followers and they're only following 1,000 people. And I honestly, it's just, to me, it's off-putting. I wouldn't want to follow someone like that. I'd be like, okay, I don't need to follow you. Even if the information is spectacular, I don't want anything to do with that. I want to be with people that are, don't think they're superior, they're not looking down at people, because the bottom line is, I don't care how smart you are, there's always someone smarter. Absolutely. And the way I look at it, I never, even though people call me expert all the time, I never use that word, and here's the reason why. Because I always know, with technology evolving, with society evolving, there's always gonna be something else I need to learn, there's always someone else out there that's a notch above me, and that's okay. Doesn't mean I'm not good at what I do. Doesn't mean I don't know my stuff. It just means there's more, right? There's always going to be more. So for me, there isn't anyone that's less than me or above me in some ways. It's more like we're constantly, I learn from my clients all the time. And I'm stoked by that because like, oh, great. Now I can put something else into my teachings, right? I can now share this episode or this little nugget with a client or whatever. And I always tell people, there's always someone at this very moment who needed to hear exactly what you have to say. because everyone's growing at different levels. So someone may think our message right now is nothing for them because they're like, I know everything about social media. And somebody else might be just learning about social media, or someone might be in the middle, right? There's always something to learn from anybody.
Yeah.
What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I totally agree. The one thing that I will say though is I don't believe in an automatic follow back. I believe in being mindful and purposeful, and I'm not saying you are, but I want to bring that up because some people hear what you just said and what we talked about, and they think, oh, so there should be a one-to-one ratio and I should always follow everybody who follows me. That's not true. Everybody does have something to give, but be deliberate, be intentional, take a look and see what do they have to learn. Now, some people are only on social to listen. You don't have to follow those people back, okay? But people that want to share, they want to be heard. Remember that. Everybody wants to be appreciated, to be loved, and to be recognized. So many times we feel invisible. We feel like nobody sees us. Social media gives us that opportunity. And with that big of a platform, I mean, 350 million on Twitter, 1.2 billion on Facebook, huge stuff. People go invisible all the time. So take the time, again, be a friend. Be nice to them, share their stuff, because chances are maybe nobody else is. So if it's good, share it, make that friend, because we can learn and ask questions. It's benefiting you as well as them.
So thank you so much for bringing that up, because I'm absolutely in agreement with you. You don't just follow blindly. And I'm going to add to that. So a lot of people will just click, 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 click. I actually have a team that I've trained, right? And even me, if I'm on there myself, I take the time, or have my team to take the time, that if someone has followed me, to go check their Twitter feed. Because first of all, we have a lot of bots, we have a lot of porn, we have a lot of spam, right? So if you're just following blindly, you do not know what you're doing, right? So I actually take that extra step and I vet. So basically I'm gonna go look at that person's page, make sure they have an actual picture on their Twitter profile, and that their Twitter stream isn't spam or isn't just selling something. And they have something on their Twitter feed that is of value, right? So that I'm not getting nasty stuff that just shows up. So, and I don't care what platform it is. I get so many friend requests. Even if it says they have 100 friends that are mutual, I don't just automatically accept. I go check their page out. So what if they have 100 friends that are in common? Because I know so many people that don't do that. They just click, add, follow, follow, follow. And I won't do that. I'm instructing my teams, like, no. And I actually have a list for them. These are my criteria. If there's if there's anything that's like overtly, sexual, whatever, I have my integrity values, if you want, that I follow, because I want the people that come to my pages know what they're going to find on there, right? And also gives me chances to retweet other people's content. And I know in my stream is going to be things of value for me to retweet. So I agree with you completely about not just following blindly. And it's just so important to check what we do. So another thing that you said that is so key for me is you said, people want to feel, everybody wants to, be appreciated and be thanked. And we don't do that enough. And there's four words that I tell everybody, man or woman, because one of the words people are like, but I'm a man. I always tell my clients, remember, you are worthy, you are appreciated, you are loved, and you are beautiful. And the beautiful one is where the guys cringe, but I'm a man. I'm like, that does not mean that you might have a beautiful soul. It doesn't necessarily mean a beautiful appearance in terms of a feminine way. It is so important to let people know that they are valued, that they are appreciated. And when they do things for you, you say thank you. We just do not do that enough in this society. And you'll find when you do that, these people will come back because they're like, wow, like you said, there's not many people that do that. They're like, this person took the time to reply to my tweet. They took the time to say, when someone says, oh, thank you for your retweet, you might have, sent a reply back saying, anytime, because I find your content of value. I appreciate it. Thank you. Right? I think that is such an important piece. So I really thank you for saying that. That's so not talked about a lot. So I would love for you also to, you have a lot of experience in social media. I'd love for you to give the audience some last minutes, because you and I could talk forever. So I'd love for you to share some of your, let's say, top three tips, if you will, for people that, I'm going to break this up. Let's start with people that are just starting out in social media, and then we'll move on to some tips for people that are like in the middle, and some people that may be more advanced in social media. So if someone were just starting out with social media, what would be some tips that you'd give them?
Yeah, so if you're just starting out in social media, take the time to get a good picture of you taken with you smiling. Make sure that that's on every platform and be consistent with that. You can mix it up over time, but as you're getting started, that consistency, as you show up different places, people will recognize you and they'll find you familiar. And that's really important. So that's first tip if you're just starting out. Second tip, don't follow just who everybody else follows and share what everybody else shares. Seriously, in social media, you could go to Mashable and share 60 articles a day and pretend to look like an expert. Instead, what I want to encourage you to do is look for some relevant hashtags or a Twitter chat that you can listen to. Now, a hashtag, if you're a beginner, you probably don't know what I'm talking about, but it's the pound sign and a word. So think of any topic as that hashtag. So go to the Twitter and click, put in the hashtag and whatever word you want to follow and see what's happening there. And then save that search and pay attention to that. See, are there times when more people are hanging out there or less? On LinkedIn, the biggest thing that you can do is complete your profile, because that will make people want to connect to you, because they'll see, oh, look, they have three other jobs. They have a picture. Maybe they uploaded a PDF or a PowerPoint that they did. Maybe it's some video, right? Chances are, unless you're sub 20, you probably have some sort of professional work experience and some history. And even some sub 20-year-olds have a lot of this stuff. But put it up there and be real about it. And then my third and final tip when you're starting out is three words. Be more human. Just don't worry about being perfect, because you're not, and you are. You're perfect just the way you are. Just be out there and be yourself. Don't worry about it. Nobody's reading your stuff at first anyway. So just be human. You're going to make mistakes. That's totally cool. Just own it and be human. So there's my three for beginners.
I love those three. Those are so important. When we move to the middle here, because I just want to tie this in now, because you just mentioned LinkedIn, I can't impart enough how important this is. Once you start getting a little more advanced in social media, so now we're in the middle, we're talking about people that are in it, and now they're like, want to get a little better. Make sure you take, especially on LinkedIn, create your name. In other words, don't just use the LinkedIn profile address, which has like all these characters. We need to start taking our platforms and, like you said, making them all. Think about this. You want to have like the same picture. That's branding, right? So now you're in the middle here in social media. Now you're starting to brand across. So you really want to attempt to grab the URLs. And if you go to LinkedIn, you can type in the FAQs, you know, how do I create my own personal LinkedIn name or whatever, right? So I think that's definitely belongs in the middle. And I just wanted to say that now, because you just mentioned LinkedIn. And, yeah. That doesn't just apply for LinkedIn. Now, on Google, it's a little trickier, because you used to be able to do a G+ to get the, however, that's not really, how should I say this, reliable. So if you do the G+ version, where you can go to, I forget what it was, I think it was
gplus.com.
That too. Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't work. I mean, I've used it, and it sometimes works, sometimes it doesn't. Google is now making you, after you've been on your page for a while, then they'll say to you, hey, you can now take your name or whatever it is. So, you know, for that one, you have to be a little more aware. Facebook, think about what you're going to put up there. If you want to tie in your business name, make sure your name's in there. And that's the other thing I think is so critical to point out now that we're in the middle of social media here. Okay, are people going to remember your business name or you? Time and time again, I can't tell you how many people will tell me, once people know you and get to know you as, like you said, a human being, they're going to remember your face and your name a hell of a lot more than your business name. So if you have this really deep desire to have your business name on the link, make sure your name is in there as well, because you're going to be found so much easier. Now I'm going to tie back to you and let you give some tips on the middle here.
Yeah, so thank you. So I talked about consistency in the first half. You kind of covered it in the second half. So let's talk about names, right? Carly Alyssa Thorne, everywhere. Really important. People are looking for you. If they were looking for C. Alyssa Thorne, they're not going to find you unless you make that, you know, you make that change, but be consistent. My given name is Philip with one L Gerbyshack, okay? Nobody except for my mom calls me Philip. Nobody's looking for that, okay? I'm Phil Gerbyshek everywhere, and I've shortened my URL everywhere to Phil Gerb, P-H-I-L-G-E-R-B. Now, that goes way back because it used to be in the olden days, you could only have an 8-character username, okay? So it makes it easy, and people can't spell Gerbyshek anyway. So that's helpful. That consistency matters. In the middle, those URLs in your name, two really big, important, consistent factors. And then the second thing that I would tell you if you're in the middle is remember that for every article you write, you need to share it 10 times or more. You need to promote it 10 times more than you wrote it. So always think about that. And I don't just mean going to Hootsuite and loading it up 10 times with the title and the URL. I mean, mix it up. What's of interest? What is a tweetable piece of that? And remember, you only get 140 characters. So you need to be brief. You need to get to the point. So those are kind of my middle tips. And then, of course, we talked about this before, but find other people to share. As you're trying to reach the next level, you only get to the next level by standing on the shoulders of giants. You don't get there by simply sharing your own stuff, unless you're already Bill Clinton and famous. So you need to share other people's content. And know that you, if you mention their handle, at least they're going to get a little blip that says that they did. And maybe, just maybe, if they follow what Carly and I are teaching, maybe they'll be appreciative and you can have a conversation with them.
So one thing I want to add to the names, because you just made me think of this, like, why did I not shorten mine? I encourage everybody to Google your name, because the reason why I had to, because I used to actually be in movies and TV shows, and what happened was Internet Movie Database put me as, I think it was either Carly Athorn or Carly Thorn. Now, I was really smart and made sure there's a ton, so someone Googles Carly Athorn or C. Thorn, I will come up. However, other people come up as well. And that's why I started branding with Carly Alyssa Thorne, because there is no Carly Alyssa Thorne. There is another actress where her name is Carly Thorne. There's actually two. So I encourage everybody to Google themselves. In other words, Google their name. So two things I want you to do. One, Google your name before you decide to make any URLs to see if there's anybody out there that might be famous, or when they put that in, all that's going to come up is somebody else's stuff. Because when people do the search, you want yourself to come up on at least the first three pages. The first three pages is beyond awesome. At least the first page, you want only your stuff coming up. And only way to do that is to have a URL on your name that is not tied to other people's. So like he said, he shortened his because no one can spell his last name, which makes a lot of sense. I went with Carly Alyssa Thorne. Yes, it's longer. However, if someone types in C.A. Thorne, a lot of my stuff's gonna come up, and everyone knows me as Carly Alyssa Thorne, then I come up in like the first four pages, actually more than that, right? Because I've been really, I did my homework. Now, the other thing I do want you to do, because we're talking about this, is I do want you to Google yourself at least once a month. You need to Google yourself, and I don't just do it on Google, I do it on Bing, I do it on Yahoo, and find out what is coming up. Are you doing enough SEO? So this one's a big one for when now we're talking about middle to advanced. The way you get found really easily, because obviously in the searches, there's what? There's news, and that's just like written text content. Then you have videos, and then you have photos. Here's the thing. When you're loading photos of yourself or on your blog, people usually just upload them, and they have a zillion numbers. So it'll have, slide, I'm looking at one right now, /224372, right? Now, I upload it like that, and I'm not going to come up. If every time you load an image to your post, or it's an image of yourself, you are going to label it. So you're going to have your name and then whatever that's about. So for example, if I was loading up his book that he's going to be writing, Make Friends First, and Phil sends me the book cover, what do? I put his name, Phil, right? And his last name, which I'm not going to say now because I know I won't say it properly. And then dash, Make Friends First. So now what's going to happen if someone Googles, right? They're actually, his picture is now going to come up on the images for Google with his name because it's tied to my blog posts. And then when I'm doing my keywords and tags, of course, I put his name. You've got to make sure you're using your keywords and your tags and that your name is everywhere. That is how I'm on the first five pages, is because I literally take the time, it's an extra 30 seconds, to relabel the photos. So it has your name, and what the blog post is about. If it's somebody else I'm interviewing, when I do his graphic that we're doing for the show, it's going to have my name and his name. So now when he goes to Google, there's going to be the image that I created for this hangout. And it's going to have his name in it, it's have his picture, and it's going to have my picture, and what his content is, and, like, you know, where you find him, and it has where you can find me. The labeling is so important, and that's how you actually get more recognized and seen in Google. What is your experience with that?
Totally agree. I recommend that every time. You save an image, that's the file name. You also add the alt so that people that are vision impaired and the search engines, which only read text, they don't see images. If they see my picture, they don't know that it's Phil Gerbyshack. They might know that it looks like Phil Gerbyshack because now we have image recognition in some of the search engines, but we don't know the name. So I really recommend that. Absolutely 100% true. Always try to do that because then, you know, sometimes people see your image. It's great that you do it with your name, but also do it related to your topic because sometimes you want to come up for that topic. People see that great image and they're like, oh, I want to view the source. They read the article that you wrote or they see the video that you did and they're even more impressed. And you turn then someone who saw a pretty picture that you did, again, this is social's visual, and turns that into a conversion. Maybe someone who signs up for your newsletter and eventually does business with you.
Okay, so since this is a podcast, not just a video, and I just realized I should have told you in your lower third to put your URL, and you didn't, because I saw you put up the lower third, and I didn't read the bottom line because we start talking. I would love for you to tell people where can they find you, and don't just say it, please spell it out. So in other words, whatever it is, .com, say it first, obviously, and that way people that are listening that are going to choose just to listen can know where to find you. And obviously when I create the blog post, as all my people know, is I always create a great blog post that has the embedded video, it has the embedded podcast, it has the blog post and everyone's information so they can find you any which way they choose. But I'd love for you to share that.
Absolutely. So the easiest way to find me is actually on my personal website. It's myname.com. So it's philgerbyshack.com. That's philgerbyshack.com. That'll get you to me and you'll have connections to all my social media places. But if you can spell Phil Gerb, P-H-I-L-G-E-R-B, you can find me everywhere. That's my Twitter handle. That's my LinkedIn shortener. That's, you know, my YouTube channel, just about everything. So if you can remember Phil Gerb, or you can spell Gerbyshack, G-E-R-B-Y-S-H-A-K, you can absolutely find me. And even if you watch this 10 years from now, I promise I will be near the top, if not first, for the word Gerbyshack.
I love it. I just have to say this because I love your vibrant energy and and your colors. So if everyone can see his, people are not obviously listening can't. If you look at his image, and in that image, he's got yellow glasses. So I'd actually love to ask you this question. What got you into, into vibrant colors? Like, as I was saying, I love purple's my favorite color, and you're wearing my favorite color right now, and today you have a different pair of glasses on. What actually made you, choose, like, to do your branding, if you will? We were talking about having the picture same ever with yellow glasses. There's always usually a fun backstory, so I'd love to hear it.
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit colorblind. So for me, I have to pick colors that I can see. In fact, the glasses that I'm wearing today, I'm not quite sure what color they are, and I'm not kidding you. They could be purple, they could be brown, they could be black. I'm not really sure. But I know that they sort of go with my outfit. But I can tell you, a bright yellow, I can see. A bright green, I can see. A bright orange, I can see. So let me show you one other thing here. My phone case today is lime green, okay? I have three different colored phone cases. I have lime green, orange, and yellow because those are my colors. And I love the brightness. I can see them, so they work for me. And that's why I picked them.
Well, see, I knew there'd be a backstory, so I had to ask.
Sure.
I love it. Oh, I think, by the way, I think they look like they're black. But anyways, and they look great with your purple shirt. Now you've got to get older and get a pair of purple glasses. That'd be so awesome. Anyways, I just have to say thank you so much for taking the time to join me and to help educate and inspire and motivate people. I look forward to seeing everybody next time. If you have any questions, feel free to email me at my name, Carly, at carlylissathorne.com. And I'm going to spell that. That's CarlyAlyssaThorne. I love bringing you valuable, informative content. So thank you, and I wish everybody a wonderful day. And Phil, thank you so much for joining me.
My pleasure.